afternoon. Today is Thursday, March the 20th, 79th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon is Eureka City School Superintendent Fred Van Vleck. Hey, Fred, how you doing, buddy?
I'm well. I'm never going to live that one down.
No,
am I?
No.
That was like months ago.
I even talked to your mom about it. And she said, well, you know, he always had this kind of an intellectual vacation that he would take during his saying of his name. So that's just kind of a normal thing for everybody. I didn't realize it was a family tradition.
So I didn't realize you were going to tell on me.
Well, hey, all secrets are shareable at some point in time.
Well, especially in Humboldt County, huh?
Yeah. But you see, for many of us, it's not sharing a secret. It's more filling in a blank.
Gotcha.
Yeah, okay. I thought you'd come up to speed on that one. So you brought a buddy along again today, huh?
Yes, I did. I brought Lou Jacobson with me today. He is our. He actually is wearing multiple hats in our district. He is our energy educator, and he also is our. I don't even know what I would call you as far as our person that works on Prop 39 and energy efficiency for the district. So,
yeah, you don't feel comfortable calling him Mr. Efficient, though, huh?
No, actually, that would work out okay.
Sure. Just keep it the same, right?
Yeah, you know? You betcha. I'll believe it when I see it on your card, man.
No, you believe it when his wife says it.
Yeah, well, hey, you know, there are some secrets that are best left unshared. That would be one of them.
Okay.
All right. Man, you are slowly settling into that swamp. You don't know it yet. It's sucking you in. We'll find out how deep when we come back.
At my bank, I feel at home. I'm Trish Greggie of the Journey's End, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, hometown banking isn't just something they say, it's how they do business. I'm Kevin McClendon of Georgia's Glass, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, we invest in the future of our community every single day. I'm Greg Foster, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
Redwood Capital Bank. Our interest is you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time, 3:13. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Fred Van Vleck and Lou Jacobson from the Eureka City Schools. But before we do, our quote this afternoon comes from, well, you probably don't recognize Joanna Spyri, but you probably do recognize the book that she wrote, Heidi.
Yes.
1881, quote, anger makes us all stupid.
I would agree with that.
Yeah.
Yes, we say things and when we get angry that we wish we wouldn't have sometimes. I don't know anybody that hasn't done that.
You mean like trying to explain a quote from Heidi? Oh, boy. So, why is Lou here? We got something pending around the corner here, a PG&E rate increase or something else that equally is palatable?
Well, what's new and exciting in the world of education these days? In the not-so-distant past, Prop 39 was approved by the California voters, and that's why Lou's here. And I'm not going to steal his thunder. I'm going to let him talk a little bit about that when you're ready.
Okay, Lou, considering how most of us have a half-life of about 2 days on propositions that were voted on or not, what was 39?
Sure, it was the Clean Energy Jobs Act of 2012, and basically it's going to free up some money to go into our local school districts, in this case Eureka City Schools, and what we're going to be doing with it is really focusing in on energy efficiency and updating technologies, hopefully saving the district a whole bunch of money in the coming years.
Now, when you say Clean Energy and Jobs Act.
Sure.
Fred, how many extra jobs have you been able to put into play or you budgeting for next year because of this act?
Well, actually, there'll be a lot. It will not be jobs that are our jobs per se, but it'll be jobs that are made through the energy efficiency projects that are done by contractors. And those will actually come in and be local jobs that are done by local contractors in a lot of situations. And so
these are like skylights and normal things, or are these specialized stuff that we may not have people here that can do?
Well, why don't I let Lou address exactly what our first
Say,
project
Lou.
Is.
Well, you know, hopefully we've got all the skilled laborers locally, and I think we do. And so we're going to be looking at windows, we'll be looking at lighting and HVAC measures, and there's a whole suite of different ideas and options that we can look at in the coming years.
Heating and air conditioning?
That is true, yeah. Okay. For us, a little more on the heating side.
I was going to say, mine is the air conditioning. I turned on my air conditioner this afternoon, though, but it was so windy, it blew the window all the way open. So it went on full blast.
Oh, I see. I see. It had nothing to do with the hot air being generated inside the building.
Well, that's potentially accurate, too. Yeah.
Normally, whenever we hear anything act in state or act in federal, there's things like prevailing wage, certain requirements, matching bond, strings and strings and strings and nets and strings and more nets. How about this one? Is there a lot of that kind of element associated with the implementation of these dollars?
Anytime you do a public works contract, prevailing wage is certainly involved. Bonds and other things like that, no. But prevailing wage is certainly involved, and that is a factor on work that is not completed in-house. And some of the work we are completing in-house, and when it's completed in-house, prevailing wage isn't a factor. But as soon as you reach out to a contractor, prevailing wage is a factor.
So just for giggles, Lou, you kind of nailed the list here rather quickly for me.
Mm-hmm.
But let's say heating and air conditioning.
All right.
Okay, and you have to have some sheet metal done and that kind of stuff. What is prevailing wage in our area for that versus just the open market? What kind of premium is associated with this?
You know, each skilled labor or specialty discipline is going to have a different labor rate, so it's hard to nail down. But, you know, we're looking at probably about 100% premium on it. So I'm saying it would probably take a contractor wage from about $45 an hour or up to, you know, the $90 to $100 an hour wage level.
So let me know when you guys get a marketing grant, okay?
Mm-hmm. That's in the ballpark.
Yep.
You know, in the future.
A marketing grant?
A marketing grant, yeah. I'd like prevailing wage.
Okay. Just for the record, I don't get prevailing wage either.
Oh, well, okay, then. I guess we just have to stick around with local wage then. KINS, News and Information, Times 319. We'll get into the details when we come back.
Sunshine for Humboldt. If you have a dog or plan to add one to your family, you'll want to know about the Humboldt Dog Obedience Group, or HumDog for short. HumDog, a nonprofit organization, began in 1978 and is run by 50 volunteers. Its purpose is to teach dogs good citizenship. HumDog conducts classes nearly every Monday evening throughout the year at Redwood Acres. There are puppy training classes, basic training for dogs over 6 months old, and more advanced classes. The modest fees are used to pay the rent and professional trainers. Each session lasts an hour. HumDog also puts on two annual events, the Dog Expo in March and the Dog Agility Trial in August. Both draw crowds of dog lovers. For those who apply for funds to spare or neuter their dog, HumDog has a special fund that may be able to help. See their website, www.humdog.org. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the people and places that make this a good.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 319. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon. A little bit more with Lou Jacobson, a little less with Fred Van Fleck. Lou, as you're looking at the implementation of this stuff that Fred's got and everybody has agreed upon, what kind of timelines, what kind of project magnitudes? Because I think for most of us, the last time we heard anything associated with an act or a bond in Eureka City Schools, it wasn't a pleasant thing.
Does the word bureaucracy come to mind?
Well, let's just say interesting priorities and kind of let her slide there. No need to dig that one up at this point. Is this stuff that's going to happen over the summertime when the schools are typically going through whatever the annual maintenance stuff is? Are you going to be shuffling kids around because it's a longer project? You going to bring in portables? Or wait, I know they're not called portables anymore. They're
relocatables.
Oh, is that what it was? I thought it was transitionals.
I haven't heard. I've heard portables. I've heard relocatables. Yes.
Oh, cool. Well, okay.
I've never heard transitionals.
Yes, yeah, so it popped up, and it was kind of in a weird setting. I thought, okay, that's an interesting word. You just, I guess, transition a campus.
Huh.
Okay, fine. It was an Eagles office. It wasn't anything that you guys would have. What are you looking at, Lou, as far as a timeline on getting all this stuff into play?
We're looking at the short, medium, and long term. So in the short term, we're looking at a project at our Corp Yard right now. In fact, I was working with our facilities folk this morning to finalize our equipment list and move that one forward. In the medium term, certainly we're looking at off-use projects, hopefully the summertime when the children aren't in the classroom. So we really want to be careful about not disrupting their classroom experience. And so in the short term, hopefully we'll take on some projects this summer. And then, of course, this is a five-year program, and so we also want to keep the long term in mind. So there'll be larger, more comprehensive projects most likely occurring within the next 18 to 24 months. And really, our priority is to make sure that we don't affect the children's experience in that classroom. So hopefully, by balancing the short, medium, and long term goals, we'll be able to get these projects moving forward without having to relocate anybody or really cause any major issues
or transition them into somewhere else.
Well,
What are we talking about? Is this the stuff that gets screwed onto the roof so that the water never gets cold, or that there's buybacks through PG&E with the energy collected in the solar panels, or double insulating windows or window treatments? I mean, how complex and how basic is this stuff?
Well, this is all really governed by the California Energy Commission's guidelines. And so they adopted those guidelines December 19th, and they're about 65 pages long. And so there's no real quick answer, but what I can tell you is that what we're going to be doing is bundling really cost-effective things together, like lighting, with less cost-effective things like heating, because certainly we want to get everything moving forward that's going to benefit not only the district by reducing our energy costs, but by creating a more comfortable learning environment for the students that we serve. Because things vary in their expenses, what we can do is we can put them together to make sure that they fit well within those guidelines. So hopefully we're going to be taking on a whole spectrum of different project types.
Fred, have you had a lot of complaints that the kids don't like being in the classroom?
That they don't like being in the classroom? I haven't had a lot of complaints like that, no.
Oh, well, see, this was a two-stage question. I mean, what kid wants to be in the classroom, right? Okay, is it because they're physically uncomfortable, or is it because perhaps they want to go outside, run around, they don't want to have to study, et cetera? The Papstein-Van Fleck syndrome.
Well, I loved being in the classroom. Loved it so much that I went to work for schools.
Yeah, no, that's more that intelligence thing rearing its head again. But I don't recall ever having a kid say, boy, it's really hot. Boy, it's really cold. Boy, it's really noisy, unless they're just, want to get out and go to the principal's office. Is that a common concern, or is this just kind of the normal maintenance, but we're going to make it a little bit better for them?
I think it's the latter. I don't think we're going to hear children complaining about it being too hot or too cold. But certainly, I think if we can do it the right way, nobody's going to notice. It's just going to be comfortable. And I think if we do our job the right way in implementing these dollars, we're going to bring down our utility costs. Most likely, the teachers won't notice. The children won't notice to a certain degree. They won't say anything, but it will be more comfortable. And certainly, it'll hopefully make a better learning environment at the end of the day.
So I was thinking that was a pretty good pun. They won't notice to a certain degree.
Yeah, I was going to comment, but thanks for jumping in there, dude. What kind of dollars are you talking about that the school district will save? Take it out 5 years with the current present cost. What are you looking at with all these improvements, all the implementation of all the programs? Does it keep costs where they are? Does it drop them down a little bit? What are you looking at?
I'm going to kick that one to Lou, because there's actually some requirements that are within there of how much we have to project savings on the dollars that we spend.
Sure, and this one's a little challenging, so I'll put it in a dollars and pennies type sense, in that for every dollar we spend through Prop 39, we have to save $1.05. at minimum to move projects forward. Now, certainly that's the baseline. We want to strive for something more than that. So my hopes are we're going to save 15 to 20%, and that might be a reach goal, but certainly as we identify projects and we prioritize projects, we want to prioritize projects that are going to bring the greatest benefit to the district. And I think 15% is a reasonable goal to strive for. If we do that, we're going to be saving $75,000, $100,000 annually. And that would be at the termination of the program here in 5 years.
KINS, News and Information Times 330. We'll be back with more from Lou and Fred.
decade of difference, making a real difference for the future of the North Coast. This is Jim Ritter with Humboldt Live in the Arcata High School Career and College Center. Do you have life and work experiences that could be of benefit to our local youth? We're recruiting community members to mentor and share ideas with our middle and high school students. Please call me at 839-5114 for more information. The decade of difference, making a real difference for the future of the North Coast.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Lou Jacobson, who's got a fancy title, and Fred Van Fleck, who's the superintendent of Eureka City Schools. Mr. Efficiency, huh? You like that? Actually, that one's kind of cool. I can remember that one. Guys, as you're talking about some of these improvements that are being made, is it every school district in the state had an opportunity to apply for this? Is everyone getting some of these dollars? Why Eureka?
So, yes, that is correct. The school districts in California are eligible to apply for this, and there's a sliding scale depending on your enrollment as to how much money you will be able to get. So, with that, Eureka City Schools is in the neighborhood of about $170,000 for the first year, and then it will be an annual apportionment for each year thereafter over a five-year period. And we'll be looking at implementing that money as soon as possible. What I am very proud of with Eureka City Schools is that Lou happened to be on board as an energy educator. He also works for the local energy authority. So it's not a full-time job for him for Eureka City Schools. And so we are able to hit the ground running because he was already working for Eureka City Schools, and he's actually now seen as a leader up here in the North Coast Schools and starting to have the conversation with the County Office of Education. All the other smaller school districts are coming to him to tap into his expertise. So it's kind of nice to be on the cutting edge of that and up front and really starting to get the projects on the ground and starting to move forward with our energy audits within the district so we can make sure that we're attacking the appropriate projects. So,
170, is that a match, or does the school district have any buy-in or any skin in this one?
What we have as far as skin in this one is we have to follow those strings, as you called them earlier, on the implementation of those dollars, meaning that we minimally 105% recovery on what we spend on projects.
So pay attention to the rules, and this is more of a gift than it is anything else.
Right. And so this is like if you're really into saving gas, this is your parents buying you the Prius, and you get to save that money on gas for the rest of your life, or the rest of the life of the Prius, I guess.
And I would save so much because I couldn't fit and never get driven.
I don't drive
you
a
too.
Prius either. I have an issue with that, yes.
I think it might fit in the back of the truck. Might fit two of them back there.
You probably have to take the front seat out, and then just if you – just sat in the back seat.
Front seat out,
work.
Roof off. You know. Yeah. I could really turn some heads. Lou, is this something that every school in the Eureka City School District is going to be able to take advantage of, or are you focusing more on the schools that were built in the 40s and the 50s rather than, like, say, Eureka High that had all those improvements with that big bond that came through a long time ago?
Oh, that's a great question. Certainly we want to prioritize where the energy savings are, so we certainly can't guarantee that every school site in the district is going to receive some of those funds in the short term. The whole district can benefit by us really pragmatically looking at where are the biggest savings realized, and certainly we want to do that. So we had the California Conservation Corps do assessments about a month ago, and we're eagerly waiting for those results, which will then allow us to better identify the opportunities and the savings. And once we have that information, I'll be able to go to Fred and lay out a bunch of different recommendations, the estimated savings, the paybacks, all the fun financial stuff, and present a whole bunch of recommendations at which then the district will make a decision and we'll implement.
You know, I never thought that the California Energy Authority would have more BS than the school district, but I think I just heard it. What you're saying is you're waiting for the CCC to deliver the goods that you've been waiting a month for?
Well, they did the assessment a month ago, and they were up front. They were saying, look, it's going to take 60 to 90 days. And, you know, I do these types of assessments every day for my day job, and it takes a lot of time to do it right. So what's amazing about this opportunity is that the CCC, the California Conservation Corps, brought in these youths, trained them up, gave them real job skills. Now they're sending all that information to UC Davis. And UC Davis has this center that's going to really take a look at that information, package it up in reports, and send it back to Eureka City Schools. And, of course, they're doing this for districts all the way across the state as well.
So this is the, I wouldn't say cutting edge, but Eureka School District is one of the first to go after the dollars and start to implement the use of them.
I would say we're not one of the first to go after the dollars because we, since it's an apportionment, we all get the dollars at the same time. But,
don't you have to prove that you are going to use the dollars before they get released?
No, the dollars have been released. We have to show that we use them correctly.
Oh, really? So what happens if, say, a school district, say there's a maverick superintendent who decides that, well, perhaps the houseboat has a higher energy priority than the school buildings themselves, and the monies don't get applied. Does the school district have to kick the money back?
Well, I would say if a school superintendent used it on a houseboat, he'd be a pretty short-term superintendent. But aside from that, if we use them not according to the stipulations of the dollars, but for the school, yes, we would be looking at having to refund that money back to the state. And we get audited, and we have to turn in – so there's kind of two prongs on the audit. We have to turn in a report showing how we use the dollars.
So Lou would have like a white paper on here's what we're doing year by year for the five-year period?
He would know more about the exact reporting of that than I would, but I do know that that reporting has to go in. And then we also have our external auditors who come in and audit our books to make sure that we're spending the money correctly.
Could it be something as simple as here's the PG&E bills?
It's not quite that simple.
See, we're down 20% or 22%?
That makes too much sense. So, no, it would not be that
simple.
Sorry.
But that's actually gets to the next part of the story, and we're actually doing a two-pronged approach in Eureka City Schools that not all school districts are doing, and that two-pronged approach is...
We'll get that when we come back. KINS News and Information Times 341, prong two, when we come back.
Sacred Heart Church invites you to join us every Sunday for our liturgical celebrations. Saturday, 4 p.m. Confessions. 5 p.m. Sunday's Vigil Mass. 7 p.m. Spanish Mass. And on Sundays, 9:30 Morning Mass and 12:30 Spanish Mass. Come and celebrate with us.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:45. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Lou Jacobson and Fred Van Fleck. Fred, before the break, you said that Eureka City Schools is being a little bit unique and that there's a two-pronged approach to the utilization of Prop 39 monies. See, just because I don't like listening to this stuff doesn't mean I can't regurgitate it just like you guys. So is the second prong before you share, is this seeing an opportunity and seizing the moment, or why a two-prong instead of just straight ahead on the single focus?
Because energy is something that you can both be on the conservation side of, and conservation meaning personal conservation, and on the conservation side meaning equipment conservation, whether it be the HVAC or the lights or windows or whatever, what have you. And so the first approach we talked about at nauseam, right, according to you?
No. It's just, you know, there's a lot of stuff to digest, I think, for a lot of folks. And I think the basics is saving money. Do it right or you're going to get spanked.
Right.
And not every school is going to be able to be in a position to take advantage of it. Either they don't need to, or there's just not enough money to be able to do everything to the full extent that you want.
Right.
But that would shoot down a 35-minute program into about a minute and a half.
Right.
So that's a consideration from my side, too.
So the two-prong. The first one is replacing equipment to use less energy. And then the next one is the educator piece, which I originally talked about is why Lou was actually working for the district before the Prop 39 dollars were allocated and even understood how they're going to be allocated out. And the goal of an energy educator is to go out and work with staff and figure out pain-free ways to save energy. For instance, it's pretty pain-free when you walk out of the room to shut off the lights. although my kids sometimes don't think that's too pain-free. But and then it's also, it's pretty pain-free to make sure your computer's shut down at the end of the night every night. It's pretty pain-free to defrost your refrigerator once it starts getting too much frost around the freezer inside there, because they're much more efficient. It's pretty much pain-free to make sure that instead of having a refrigerator with one Diet Coke in it, share a refrigerator with a whole bunch of staff members and keep the thing full, because anytime your refrigerator's fuller, it runs more efficient. And so that's the energy education piece of it, on top of making sure that we have energy efficient equipment as well.
Lou, does that stuff really count?
It really does. Yeah, it absolutely does. Because it really takes a small investment of time, right? I think Fred nailed it. How easy it is it to turn a light off when you leave the room and save money, not only for the district, but for the youth that we're serving.
So the savings that are on prong two, do those get plowed back into the classroom? Additional goodies, a little technical stuff? I mean, let's say all that stuff is dialed in, everybody follows it to the T, you realize whatever the additional savings are. So where do those savings go?
So let me scare you for a second. So if you take a look at a district budget, and I'm going to talk real general here.
Bag back on. Okay, you got me.
85 cents of every dollar goes to people. And so that leaves 15 cents left. And that 15 cents has to cover trash, power, books, materials, supplies, maintenance, all those other things that are out there. So if you take that 15 cents that we have left on every dollar and say maybe 5 of that 15 cents is being used on power, if we can save one of those cents even, then we can turn around and put that directly back into the classroom, because those are our flexible dollars that we can do things with. Because if you look at the 15% of personnel costs, the most expensive cost of the district, we don't have a lot of leeway to do a whole lot. The only time we can control what we pay personnel is during the negotiations process. And that's how much can we afford to give as far as a raise out to employees. So this is something that's really direct, tangible, that we can put a direct savings right back into the district and reinvest those in students.
So if it's a 1% total budget savings through Lou's stuff, it really has a 6-time multiplier into the classroom, because only now 1/6 goes into the classroom.
I'm not following your math.
15%, right?
Yeah, I think I know what you're saying. But
good.
Yes, it's
thanks.
I was helping you out for the audience out there that wasn't following.
Oh, I see. This wasn't Arcata High rearing its head.
No,
I never think of that.
So, but yes, that is you're correct. Yes, you're correct. Directly into the classroom, though.
So, Lou, why isn't...
I think one, and I'm just using very gross round numbers, a 1% savings to the district budget, I think, would be a very ambitious goal. I don't think it'll be quite that high. Remember, we're about a $34 million budget for the district yearly, so I just don't think we'll
be quite
that high.
You don't think $3 million's in the cards?
No.
What's realistic, Lou? Do you think 100,000? Half a million?
With Prop 39 and, you know, with the two-prong approach, I think we could probably get up to the $150,000 to $200,000 range. But even that's going to be a reach goal. When we look at our overall utility bills, certainly there's not a lot there to gain. When we look at them, we're spending quite a bit of money on utilities. But when you look at it in the frame that Fred was just talking about in regards to the total budget, it's not a huge number. And so certainly I have my goals I want to strive for. And really that's about where it's at, about 15% or so on the Prop 39 side, probably another 7 to 10% in the first year or two on the conservation side, on the behavior side. So when you total that up, it would be significant, but certainly on the whole budget, not a whole lot.
Well, we'll see how this one plays out. Thanks for coming by. And notice Fred brought his money shirt today. That's very, very impressive. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.